Our scripture this morning is from the greatest sermon of all time. Not mine. The scripture is from the greatest sermon of all time. The GOAT sermon by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, 1 through 8. And I'll tell you what, if you ever get an opportunity to preach, and I think everybody has got one sermon in them, at least, but if you ever get an opportunity to preach, you will discover that preaching makes you feel very unqualified to do. Okay? So I'm going to expound on what Jesus said. That's a little intimidating, right? It's a little intimidating. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so here I am to expound on that. Well, here we are, right? So the way that God lays this on my heart then is to take the Word of God and to apply it to our lives, right? That's the way that this works. You know, God's Word speaks for itself. Jesus speaks for Himself. But what I do is I try to bridge the gap between the Word of God and how it applies to our lives. So, so to do that, I looked at the scripture, and I thought, you know, a lot of what Jesus is talking about here has to do with attitude. Did anybody here ever give their mama attitude?
Once.
How well did that work out for you, Werner? Not well. Yeah, didn't work out good for me either. And not that I'm comparing to God to Mama, but you know, I think that there are times when God doesn't care so much for human attitude either, right? And so I think that His idea would be that our demeanor glorifies Him, lifts up Jesus Christ. And as I thought about that, I thought of the phrase, glory be, glory he. And I don't know where that came from. It just popped into my little brain. So, glory be, glory he. And so, attitude has to do with intentions and motivations and whether we're sincere or not in our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ, whether we're genuine, whether we really, really, really love God and love our neighbor. Because, you know, if you love God, you will love your neighbor. Romans 12:9, one of my great pastor friends shared this verse with me when he found out what it was that what the sermon was going to be about. It says, Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. So it goes also then to honesty and integrity, being real, right? Kind of an overused phrase, being real, but it's about being real. It's about faith and real faith in Jesus Christ, and the way that we live that out in our everyday, ordinary lives. It glorifies God. And a lot of that has to do with our time with God, our time with Him in prayer, our time with Him in Bible reading, our time with Him in giving even. And that's what Jesus has to say in this passage. But as we're thinking about all that, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to try to read this without pulling the glasses out of my pocket. Whitney, will you hold this? Verse 1, Matthew 6, 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Do you know why it is you shouldn't practice your righteousness? Why I shouldn't practice my righteousness? It's not so good. It's not so good. I think it would be much better to practice Jesus' righteousness than my righteousness, than your righteousness. I think what that means is how good is God? We say God is good. Come on. We've trained them better than this, Kelsey. We say God is good. But how good is God? Infinite, right? Infinitely good. And do you know how he proved that? He held his arms open like this. And he said, I love you. So I think that it would be better to practice how good God is than to practice how good Tom is. So don't practice your own righteousness. Verse 2 through 4 says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So, verse 1, I thought of your righteousness. Second one here, I thought of your recognition. Your recognition. Which would it be better to have your recognition or for God to be recognized for what he did through you? I thought of, when I read this, I thought of the widow who gave the two mites. That was all she had. And you know, I got to thinking that in addition to it being, you know, a real event, which really did happen, where this widow gave all that she had, her last two pennies, I thought, this is also an analogy for the fact that she loved God so much that she gave him her whole heart. Now, which one do you think was more important to Jesus? The fact that she gave her whole fortune or her whole heart? I think it's the whole heart, because that's truly what God wants us to give. Give our whole heart. When we do, the rest of everything will follow in the right way, right? Amen? Amen. And the great thing about giving with our whole heart is God sees our whole heart. And he knows our whole heart. And he knows that it's sincere. And we're saying, glory be, glory he, with our whole heart. And I have to tell you, there is nothing, not that I know this myself, but there's nothing more satisfying, more joyful. What a better blessing there is than giving and walking away with that anonymous smile on your face, knowing that somebody in your community, somebody halfway around the world, was able to get by for just a little bit because of what God has done through you. That's a great way of saying glory be, glory he. So, moving on to verse 5 and 6. And when you pray, by the way, you notice it said, and when you pray, it didn't say, and if you pray. It says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. But when you pray, there's that when word again, go into your room and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So there are times when we will be called upon to pray in public. And when we do, a lot of times, and especially as a pastor, a lot of times the prayer is said for the benefit of those that are hearing, right? You know, sometimes I get some good little sermons in a prayer. But the great thing is, God, this relationship that we have with God and the discussion that we have with Him, the relationship building that we're doing with God through prayer, is mostly done between me and Him, between you and Him. That's really where the 99%, I would say 99% of the time that we pray should be private prayer between you and God. And all that work that you need to do with Him has to be done then. I really hope that 99% of your prayer isn't asking God to bless the food. Now, I'm all for blessing the food, and we should do that. But 99% of your prayer, Jesus says, it needs to be done between you and Him. You'd be amazed at what prayer can do. Amen. Verses 7 and 8. Impress God with sincere public prayer and heart. So, yeah, gonna have to do it. Somebody took my Bible from home, replaced it with an exact replica with smaller print. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So there will be times when you are called upon to pray in public. And I really admire those preachers that can pray these great extemporaneous prayers that take about 3 weeks, and it's full of this great theological doctrine and all that stuff. I really admire them. And we're blessed to have them to be able to do that, that God has given them the ability to do that. But not everybody's called to that. Not everybody can do that. I think what's more important to God is that the prayer is done with a sincere heart that truly loves God, that truly loves their neighbor. So if you're ever called upon to pray in public, and I might just start picking people out, but if you're ever called to pray in public, just tell God how much you love Him. And that will do. Because God looks at the heart. He doesn't listen to the vocabulary. And so as I was thinking about all these things, this great video came along, and I'll have Eric play that in just a moment. And what this video impressed upon to me was the sincerity. I could hear the sincerity in this young lady's voice. Listen for it, if you will. Listen to this poem that she's about to read, and hear the sincerity of love for God and love for neighbor in it. When you're ready, Eric.
This, but I heard this poem today in church and thought that it would be dope for your pod, Carson. Nope. It is dope for the pod, so I'm about to read it, okay? It's a little long, so stick in there with us.
Don't fall asleep.
Pay attention. This might change your life. Okay? The title of the poem is called Holes, okay? And this is how it goes. I had been in that hole for a very long time, in the dark and in the damp, in the cold and in the slime. The shaft was above me. I could see it quite clear. But there was no way I could ever reach it from here, nor could I remember the world way up there. So I lost all my hope and gave into despair. I knew nothing but darkness, the floor and the walls. Then off in the distance, I heard someone call, "Get up, get ready, there's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder." This had never occurred to me, had not crossed my mind, but I started to stack all the stones I could find. When I ran out of stones, then old sticks were my goal. For one way or another, I'd get out of this hole. So I soon had a ladder that was sturdy and tall, and I thought, I'll soon leave this place once and for all. I climbed up my ladder. It was no easy chore, for from lifting these boulders, my shoulders were sore. I climbed up my ladder, but soon had to stop, for my ladder stopped short, some 10 feet from the top. I climbed back down my ladder and started to cry. I'd done all I could do, I gave my best try, and in spite of my work in this hole, I must die. And all I could do was sit and think, why? Was my ladder too short or my hole much too deep? Then from way up high came a voice, "Do not weep." And the faith, hope, and love entered my chest as the voice said to me that I had done my best. He said, "You've worked hard, your labor's been rough, but the ladder you've built is at last tall enough. Do not despair, you have reason to hope. Just climb up your ladder, I'll throw down my rope." I climbed up the ladder, then climbed up the cord. When I got to the top, there stood the Lord. I couldn't be happier, my struggle was done. I blinked in the brightness that came from the sun. I fell to the ground, His feet did I kiss. I cried, "What can I do to repay Thee for this?" Then He looked all around Him. There were holes in the ground, they had people inside, and were seen all around. There were thousands of holes that were damp, dark, and deep. Then the Lord turned to me and He said, "Feed my sheep." Then He went on His way to help other lost souls, and I got right down to work, calling down to the holes, "Get up, get ready, there's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder." It was now my turn to spread the good word, the most glorious message that man ever heard, that there is one who is willing to save one and all, and we've got to be ready when He gives the call. He'll put us out of the hole that we're in and save all our souls from death and from sin. So do not lose faith. There is reason to hope. Just build up your ladder. He'll throw down His rope.
I love that.
Oh my gosh.
That is beautiful.
Seriously, Carson.
Amen. You see, when we give with a glad and sincere heart, our prayers, our time, our talents, our tithe, our worship, our witness, our service, God throws down His rope And we pull people out of the hole. People that are dying. People that don't know it. And so when we love God with a glad and sincere heart, when we say glory be, glory he, when we love that way, when it's genuine, when it's come from heart of love, then God can do anything. He can save anyone. That's why it's so important to have that honesty and integrity in our hearts. If you don't, then maybe it's time that we did a little self-check here, right? Say, what's going on in my heart? Maybe I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Maybe I need to stop and believe in Him, have faith in Him, accept Him and believe and have faith and have the love of God pour into us. Maybe we've got caught up in the world and we've been jaded by all the junk that we see. We need to flush all that out and remember our first love, which is Jesus Christ. And when we do, then we'll throw down his cord. Because I'm telling you, there are some people around us, maybe somebody even in this building right now that's in a hole and needs help out. And Jesus Christ is the only way. So will you be the way? And when you do, you can walk away with that anonymous smile, and you can say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I praise you and thank you for your love, which fills our hearts and minds, which transforms our lives, which creates in us a new heart, a heart that loves you and loves our neighbor. Lord, I pray for anyone that's in the hole this morning, whatever that hole is, Lord, that you would use us as instruments of your grace to rescue them and to give them new life. And Lord, for those of us that have been standing on the sidelines, help us to remember we've got the cord, which is Jesus Christ, in our hands, and we need to use His love and His grace. Help us to remember that we were in the hole one time ourselves. And it's time to, as Jesus told Peter, feed your sheep and take care of your lambs. Lord God, Holy Spirit, reign in our hearts and minds now. And Lord God, Holy Spirit, pull us toward you. Lord, take away whatever it is that's stopping us. And Lord, pull us to you. Come to Jesus. Come now. In his name I pray. Amen.
As we sing, this is your opportunity to respond. The Holy Spirit is calling you, pulling you.